1 Corinthians chapter 16, and we will begin with verse 14. Let all that you do be done with love. I urge you, brethren, to know the household of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That you also submit to such, and to everyone who works and labors with us. I am glad about the coming of Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Archaicus, for what was lacking on your part, they supplied. For they refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge such men. The churches of Asia greet you. Aquila and Priscilla greet you heartily in the Lord with the church that is in their house. All the brethren greet you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. The salutation of my own hand, Paul's. If anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. O Lord, come. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. One of the greatest needs we all have is to be loved. And as we give love, hopefully we receive love. And as we receive love, that has psychological healing, that has physical healing. It is so very important that we give and receive love. So it's not surprising that the two greatest commandments are to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself. And as Paul concludes this letter to the Corinthians, he concludes with an exhortation to love. He concludes with his own assurance of his love for them. In verse 14, he says, let all that you do be done with love. But you know, love must be more than a feeling. Love must be more than just words. Love must also be shown in action. And this morning, I want to share with you six ways that we are to show our love for each other within the body of Christ. And the first way is this, by serving one another. We see this exemplified by a special family in the Corinthian church. In verse 15, Paul says, I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That word translated ministry is diakonia in Greek. We get our word deacon from that word. And it refers to any kind of a service that you perform for someone else to meet a need in their life. And so here was a family that was devoted to ministering to people, serving people, as Paul says here. They were just following the example of Jesus, who said, the Son of Man has not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many. Jesus showed His love by serving people. He went about doing good. He went about healing the sick, feeding the hungry. He showed love by serving. And I want you to note a couple of other truths about showing love through service as we see in this text of Scripture. And the first is this, that service should begin with the saints. We show our love first to our own congregation. It is important that we do so. Notice it says in the last of verse 15 that they have devoted themselves to the ministry of who? The saints, as he says there. You see, love should always begin at home, with your own family, with your own church family. Paul said in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, let us do good to all men, but especially of the household of faith. And so there's nothing wrong with giving priority of showing love to your own family and your own church family. It's actually scriptural to do so. The author of Hebrews said in Hebrews 6:10, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward His name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Notice in that verse, there's a connection between love and service. And once again, we see the example of service being extended to the people of God. That is certainly what we should do. But notice also the initiative for such service. Paul says there in verse 15 that they have devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints. And the word translated devoted themselves is actually a word that can be translated they appointed themselves. They appointed themselves to the ministry of the saints. They didn't wait around and wait on somebody to ask them to serve. When they saw a need, they just took the initiative to meet that need. They were that kind of Christians. They were that kind of servants. You know, we do have deacon ministries. We do have other ministries in the church where people are specifically designated to serve in certain ways to the congregation. But you know, we should not only serve when we are assigned to do so, but we should be like the household of Stephanas, and when we see a need, we step up and meet the need. We volunteer, we take the initiative, and that's the way it ought to be. And so, may we follow the example of this family, and when there is someone in the church family who is sick, we're willing to go and pray with them. We're willing to take food to their family that's going through a difficult time. If they can't cut the grass, that somebody in the church will offer to cut their grass for them, perform other needed service. That is the spirit of love that we see exemplified here. But you know, too often we do not take the initiative to serve. Too often we do not help folks in their time of need. Reminds me of a story of a man who fell into a pit. And the Pharisee walked by and said, sinful people have bad things happen to them. You deserved it. And he walked right on by and didn't help. And then the optimist came by and said, you know what? It could be worse. And then the pessimist came by and said, it will get worse. The reporter came by and pulled out his camera, took pictures, pulled out his pad, got the interview, and went on his way. But Jesus came by and reached his hand and lifted him out of the pit. Folks, love is shown by service to those who are going through a time of need. A second way that we show love is by being submissive. And we see the appeal of Paul in verse 16 where he says that you also submit to such and to everyone who works and labors with us. Yes, Paul encouraged these Corinthians to submit to leaders like this who labors, who works hard, and have a submissive attitude toward their leadership. And indeed, one way we show love is by being submissive. You know, a child shows love for her parents by submitting to their authority. A wife shows love to her husband by submitting to his leadership within the home. Church members show love to their pastor and other leaders by submitting to their leadership. The Bible says that when we're filled with the Spirit, we'll be submitting to one another in the fear of God. And so I believe submission is another way that we show our love. And notice particularly who we are to submit to in this verse of Scripture. He says that you submit to such and to everyone who works and labors with us. This was a family who was a serving family. Evidently, they became leaders within the church. And Paul said, you need to submit to such as these. You know, one thing that I see in the New Testament that is clear to me is that we are to have servant leaders. If you're not a servant, you're in no position to be a leader of the church. We are to appoint those who work and serve as leaders of the church. And recognizing that they are servant leaders, then we are to submit to their leadership. And let me say one other thing about submission. If you want conflict in the home, if you want conflict in the church, then have a rebellious attitude. But if you want peace and harmony in the home or in the church home, then let there be submission. And so that's another way that we show love. But another way that we show love is by being a companion, by spending time with someone. And we see this exemplified in verses 17 to 18, where Paul says, I am glad about the coming of Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Archaicus, for what was lacking on your part, they supplied. Now understand that Paul was serving in Ephesus, and the Corinthians were across the Aegean Sea in Corinth. And so these three men traveled all the way across the Aegean Sea to spend time with the Apostle Paul, to give a report on how things were going, to encourage him in his missionary work. And so they showed love by visiting him and spending time with him. And notice the result in verse 18, for they refreshed my spirit and yours. You know, you and I ought to be the kind of person who is willing to go and spend time with someone, especially when they're going through a difficult time, and to encourage them, to refresh their spirit. I believe we see this reflected in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 6. God, who comforts the depressed, comforted us by the coming of Titus. And by the way, that word coming, parousia, literally means, refers to their presence. And so when someone is going through a difficult time, then as you see opportunities to just go and visit them, spend some time with them, you will refresh their spirit, you will lift their spirit, you will encourage them, and that is one way that we show our love. Now think of somebody who needs your love by way of a visit. Think of, for example, someone who's homebound, someone who's a widow. And it reminds me of James chapter 1 and verse 27, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble. And then Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25, verse 36, I was sick and you visited me. You know, as a pastor, that's definitely one of my ministries, especially when someone's in the hospital, that I go and visit them in the hospital. What a blessing it was for Drew and I and a few others in the church to visit the Hatfields during this very difficult time in their lives. And I can tell you that they were encouraged, they were refreshed by our visits. And so, when someone's sick, to visit them in the hospital. And he says, and I was in prison and you came to me. Some of the people that are forsaken the most and are visited the least are those in prison. Perhaps we're like the Pharisee who says, well, you got yourself into it, and so why should I visit you? But Jesus says, I was in prison and you came to me. And so one way that we can show our love is by visiting someone, spending time with them, and we see that exemplified in this text of Scripture. So I encourage you to visit people who are in a time of need in their life and spend time with them. Or if they're just lonely, you have the opportunity to do that and show your love in that way. A fourth way that we show our love is with hospitality. Now, hospitality was frequently practiced in the New Testament church. People could visit from another city, and they could be assured that when they connected with a local church, they would be invited to spend the night with them. Someone would open their home to them. Whether they were a traveling missionary, evangelist, or just one of the saints of God, hospitality was highly valued in the early church, and we read much about it in the New Testament. And we see an example of hospitality right here in this text of Scripture of a very special couple. For example, in verse 19, it says, "Aquila and Priscilla greet you heartily in the Lord with the church that is in their house." Aquila and Priscilla practiced hospitality. When the Apostle Paul met them, they invited Paul to come and stay with them. And they would even work together in their common trade. I'm sure Aquila and Priscilla hosted a church in their home there in the city of Corinth. And then when Aquila and Priscilla went to Ephesus, likewise we read in verse 19 that they had a church in their home. And so here was a couple that practiced hospitality. They used their home as a place of hospitality. And so I want to ask you, do you ever use your home? Do you ever invite a new member over so that you can get to know them and fellowship with them? We're thankful for those who have opened their homes like Martha and others for our home groups. And so we can open our homes for hospitality. Perhaps a neighbor that you want to get to know and perhaps witness to. Use your home as a place of hospitality, a great way to show your love. But you know, things are kind of different today, and perhaps your home is not a very good place for a larger group. You know, you can do some hospitality right there in the social hall. Maybe after church one Sunday night, invite folks to come across the hall and serve them some refreshments. We have the Welcome Fellowship, and we've been asking Sunday school classes to host all the people that come for Sunday school for a time of refreshments. And we've had a number of Sunday school classes to do just that. I mentioned in the 8:30 service that we didn't have a class for next Sunday, and a precious couple in our church offered to take care of the social next Sunday. And so showing hospitality is another way that we express our love. And then number five, express affectionate greetings to one another. Paul says in verse 20, "All the brethren greet you, greet one another with a holy kiss." Now folks, that's a commandment in Scripture. It's not just here, but it's found six or seven times in the New Testament that we are to greet one another. And the word translated greet literally means to draw to oneself. And in that particular culture, they would draw to each other, closer to each other, and they would, as we read here, typically greet one another with a kiss. If you go to Eastern Europe today, if you go to the Middle East today, that's still being practiced to this very day. Now, we live in Western culture, and I believe that we should follow the gist of this command in a culturally appropriate way. Westerners tend to greet one another with a handshake, with a hug, not so much kissing one another. That's usually within family. And so I believe we should at least greet one another in a warm way as we gather with God's people in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul says we are to greet one another. Let me tell you why this is important. Because Paul says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. Now notice the connection here. He talks about affection and he talks about brotherly love or family love. You see, we are part of the family of God. You have your physical family, but you also have your church family. And so, though your warmth of affection with your physical family is going to be more intimate, yet even still with your church family, it should be warm. It should be greeting with handshakes, with hugs, as it may be appropriate. And so we must carry out the spirit of this command. Now, if we lived in an ideal world, I believe that in the church family, we would greet each other as warmly as our own family. But you know, we don't live in an ideal world. We live in a world of the Me Too generation and lawsuits and everything else. And so we have to be careful about propriety. In fact, Paul did say in verse 20, greet one another with a what? A holy kiss. Free from lust, free from anything that's improper. And that is the guideline that we are to follow as well. In fact, Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 2, treat older women as mothers, younger as sisters, with all purity. And so that is the main guideline that we must always keep in mind, especially with cross-gender greetings. But also, I would say this, that we should have confidence that whichever form of greeting we give, especially to the other gender, is that it would be welcomed and not unwelcomed. And so, if you don't know, then play it safe and do the handshake or whatever is the safer form of greeting to avoid problems. And so Paul says that we are to be affectionate to one another in our greetings. And something else we'll say is this. He said, greet your friends in the church. Is that what he said? No, he said, greet one another. One another. Our greetings should be broad, not just limited to our friends within the church, just classmates within the church, but it should be broad in our greeting, as broad as Paul says in this text of Scripture. Now, folks, if we are to greet one another warmly within the family of God, how much more should we greet each other even more warmly in the family that God has given us? And yet I read in a certain survey that 56% of wives stated that their pets are more affectionate than their husbands. And so, you know, we got to do better than that, you know. And so we should be greeting one another, especially within our family, with hugs and kisses and so forth. Fathers, you better hug your daughter. You better hug your daughter. Husbands and wives, you better show affection to each other if you're going to be in the will of God. Hug your mama. Hug your mama. You know, I got this phase in my life, and I've become more of a hugger, but I wasn't that way to begin with. And when I was about 11, 12 years old, I thought it wasn't cool to hug your mama anymore, you know. I was an older boy now, and I definitely didn't want to hug my mama in front of my friends. Let me tell you something. You're never too old to hug your mama, okay? any place, any time. And so we need to practice warm greetings with one another, including the family of God. And let me conclude by one other way that we are to show love, and that is by giving verbal expressions of love. Yes, love should not be only words, but love certainly should include our words. There's an old story about a wife who was frustrated with her husband because she said, "You never tell me you love me anymore." And he said, "Well, I told you the day I got married, and if it changes, you'll be first to know." Well, folks, that won't cut it. That will not cut it. And so we are to show our love with words of love as well. And notice from our text the different kinds of verbal expressions of love that we are to give to one another. And one is words of appreciation. In the last of verse 18, Paul says, "Therefore acknowledge such men." These three men that he identified, he said, "Listen, when they get back home, you ought to just tell these men how much you appreciate what they did for the Apostle Paul and what they do for the church." And so one way that we show our love is by expressing words of appreciation. Husbands and wives should express words of appreciation to one another. Children should express appreciation to their parents. And when the kids do their chores, thank them for a job well done. And people that you see in the church working hard, serving the Lord, a word of appreciation is always in order and is one way that we express our love for one another. But this may surprise you, but another way we express our love sometimes is with words of rebuke and warning. Jesus said in Revelation 3:19, "Whom I love, I rebuke and chasten." And here we see an example of that in verse 22, where Paul gives a warning out of love. He says, "If anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed." Now that's a strong statement, isn't it? The way these Corinthians were living, Paul questioned whether some of them were even saved, whether they truly knew Jesus. And so as he concludes this letter, he gives a warning that if you don't love Jesus, you know what's going to happen? You're going to hell. That's basically what he says here in verse 22. And I tell you what, if you love and care about somebody, you don't want them going to hell, right? And you're going to do everything you can to keep them from going to hell. You're going to pray for them. You're going to witness to them. You're going to warn them. And so there are times when we indeed express our love with an appropriate word of rebuke or warning. But notice that it should be followed by assurances of love. Indeed, another way that we express our love is with assurances of love. In verse 24, "My love be with you all in Christ Jesus." Amen. I read that in no other epistle does Paul conclude his letter with such an assurance of love. Why does he do it here? It's because 1 Corinthians includes one of the strongest rebukes for many in the church that you find. And so after being a little hard on them, he assures them that he loves them. I remember as a child, and I'm sure many of you remember as a child, back in the day when they wouldn't put you in time out, they would make you go get your own switch and discipline you the hard way. And I remember one time I got one of those lessons, and it hurt. And I remember mom or dad, as the case may be, afterwards coming to me, and I made me still a little bit crying, just a little bit. And they put their arm around me, and they assured me how much they loved me. Now, I'll be honest with you, I didn't feel the love, you know, especially when the discipline was going on. But afterwards, at least I had the assurance that they did it because they loved me and I needed it. Now, I tell you what, you know, it does soften the discipline when it's followed with assurances of love. And so Paul reminds them that, I love you. I love you. And I want to state to every person in this congregation how much I love you and how much I appreciate you and thank God for you. And so we need to express our words of love and assurances of love as we see here. But you know, one of the biggest problems that a person can experience is to express love and not have the love come back to them. The great writer Thomas Carlyle had a wife who loved him, who adored him. And yet he was so busy with his work, he really didn't give her the kind of attention and expressions of love that she should have had. And she died at a relatively young age. And Thomas Carlyle was depressed after the death of his wife, and he took her diary and started flipping through her diary. Read an entry that said, I heard his footsteps, and it thrilled my heart to know that I would spend a few moments with my beloved. Another entry that said, I was able to fix his shirt for him today, and how glad I was that I could do something for my beloved. And he kept seeing these expressions of love. And he threw the diary down and ran to the grave and fell prostrate across her grave and said, oh, if I'd only realized how much you love me. Well, I'm sure she told him, but yet he was really thinking about how it was unrequited love too much, and it grieved his heart. Don't wait until that loved one dies before you express and show how much you love them. And so I asked you this morning, are you a loving Christian? Is it more than just words? Well, let me ask you this. Let's put ourselves to the test. Do you serve others? Do you have a submissive attitude? Do you spend time with people to show your love? Do you show hospitality, inviting people to your home? Do you greet people warmly? Do you express your love with words? Are you a loving Christian? Perhaps all of us fall short to some degree, and we need to recommit ourselves to the greatest commandment, which is to love, beginning with our family and our church family and then beyond. Is there someone here today who heard the warning that if you do not love the Lord Jesus, that shows you're not saved? And hell awaits those who do not love Jesus. And I want you to be saved today. And I want you to show your love, if you haven't done so, by confessing your faith and presenting yourself for baptism this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you loved us, that Jesus loved us even to the point of going to the cross. Lord, you have set the example of love, and help us to follow your example in a renewed in more vigorous way. And I pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.